Hi, River Church Slough. How are you doing? These are rubbish days, really, aren't they? I wish I could see you. I wish I could give you a hug. I say that every time we record these things, but it's true. And it's not surprising if we feel a bit rubbish sometimes during these times, because they are difficult days. But despite that, despite our circumstances, we're called to live free. We're called to live in glorious freedom, at least that's what it says in Romans 8. And so, how do we do that? That's what I want to talk a little bit about today. One of the best ways of doing that is to understand who we are and what is the story that we're living in. See, we're not living in a pandemic story, one which is fear-filled, where we're expecting the worst to happen. We're not afraid even of death because of what Jesus has done. We're not living in the British story. We're not British citizens living in the British story, although that has some great parts to it and some not so great parts. We're not US citizens living in the US story, though that has some inspirational parts and some not so inspirational moments too. Now, we are citizens of heaven and we're living in God's story. That's a story about God who is love, a God who chooses to love and in whom there is no darkness, a God who made the universe and gave us a wonderful part to play in it, a God who is for us, doesn't give up on us. You know, even when we chose not to trust him, to go our own way, we chose to hide and to wander. This is a story about a God who chases us, a God who doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on you today, even if you feel like maybe you don't deserve his love, or you know, God is still there, wooing your heart, still after you, still loves you, still wants you, and won't give up on you. It's a story about Jesus and how he fulfills God's plans, how he reveals God as the God who is love. And it's a story about creation being birthed with masses of potential but going a bit wrong, and how our part is to help creation, help Jesus help creation to become mature, to be filled with all the fruit he imagined when he created it, to bring it to completion. That's a fantastic story to live in, and it's filled with hope and filled with joy and filled with peace, and I hope your hearts are filled with that as we just think on that just for a moment. But I want to track that story today by looking at the theme of darkness through the Bible. And we'll see how that story gets played out using that theme. And we'll start off by reading the first few verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice something interesting about that. In the beginning, when the earth was formless and void, there was a chaotic kind of darkness. Darkness was there. And God speaks out and says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God called that light good. But he doesn't call all of the first day good like he does most of the rest of the days of creation. In the afternoon or later, he separates the light from the darkness, having declared the light good. And we are supposed to pick up on that. We're supposed to recognise that God can't bring himself to declare the darkness good. Why is that? What is it about the darkness that means it's not good? Why couldn't God bring himself just to declare it good at the end of the day? Because it must be necessary. Well, the darkness, you see, the trouble with the dark is you get lost in it. We get lost in it. We can't see where we're going. We don't know where we are. And just like any parent, God hates it when his children are lost. So when we feel lost and when we're filled with fear at the prospect of lostness, not being unsure of who we are, where we are, where we're headed, God feels our fear and our lostness. He hates it. He wants his kids to feel peaceful, joy-filled. Also, evil deeds are hidden in darkness. I remember when we lived in Nepal, they used to lock the doors at night, 8 o'clock, and they wouldn't unbolt or unpadlock the doors until 5 o'clock in the morning when the sun came up. And one night, when we'd locked up, there was a distressing call from a local orphanage that the church was running, and some of people had tried to break in. They'd seen some of my guests take gifts for the orphans, and so they thought they would break in and steal them. Terrible, terrible thing. But they didn't do that during the light. They did it in the cover of darkness. And so people used the cover of darkness to hide all kinds of wicked things. And that's not great either. So darkness hides things. It also hides some good things. You know, the Bible tells us that God has hidden treasures for us in the darkness that he wants us to find. And so it says that in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 3. But it's not good. I'm going to play a couple of videos throughout this talk just to illustrate the point of darkness and the growing light. Here's the first.
Men chose the darkness. We hate darkness, really. In the darkness, we don't know where we are. We're lost. The darkness hides things, both good and bad. God has hidden things in the darkness for us. Treasures, it says in Isaiah chapter 45, that he's longing for us to find. But also, wickedness hides in the darkness. Evil hides in the darkness. Thieves break in and steal in the cover of darkness. Evil deeds are done when no one can see.
Good. Well, so there was darkness in the beginning and it wasn't good. One day we know there's going to be no more darkness. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 25, when it's describing new creation, it's describing the end of the time as we know it, and it's describing a time when God makes all things new. It says there'll be no more night. Now, obviously that means there'll be no more darkness. So it describes the heavenly city, the place where we're going to live, as having gates which are always open, because there's no night. There's no need to fear the night. There's no need to fear what might come out of the darkness to terrify us. So there's no fear in those days. So we know that darkness is going to come to an end. But how does creation get there? What's the story that the Bible tells? Well, that is the story that the Bible tells. God started by making friends with a few men and women through Abraham and his descendants, and he said that they were supposed to be a light to the other nations, to the other tribes. But you know, the Old Testament is really a description of how they didn't live up to that calling very well. And so God eventually comes in Jesus, and Jesus is described as the light of the world. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 1. Again, it's echoing the story in Genesis that we've just read, because Jesus fulfills creation. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. Yet he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus is the light of the world. The world was made through him. He came to the world. The world didn't recognize him. Jesus came to put an end to darkness, to drive out fear, to drive out the fear from our hearts. He came to show us how we can live in love, how we can live without fear, so that we should no longer be lost, not knowing which way to turn. He came to reveal God to us, to show us what God is like, that we should be filled with joy. We no longer hurt ourselves or one another by stumbling around in the darkness. And that wasn't an easy assignment for Jesus. The world didn't recognize him, that's what it says. It didn't understand him. It tried to overcome him. In fact, it thought it had got rid of him. But the world couldn't overcome him, and he triumphed via the cross. How are you today? Are you fearful, anxious? Do you feel the darkness oppressing you? Maybe you're feeling a bit lost, unsure of the way ahead. Now fix your eyes on Jesus. Allow him to comfort your soul. Allow his love to fill your heart again right now. Allow his light to illuminate your path. You see, he knows that we're living in difficult times, and he knows we're frail. And he longs to comfort you and me. Receive his love right now. Allow the Lord to pour out his love into your heart. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He always treats us better than we deserve. He's going to treat you and me better than we deserve today, thankfully. Thank you, Jesus. So, how do we live in the light? I've got a bit of light shining on me here in the conservatory. How do we live in the light? I'm not talking about the sunlight. How do we live in the true light, the light of the world? How do we live in that light that drives out darkness? Well, the first thing it says is that it's for those who believe in him, those who trust him. So we start by choosing to trust Jesus. If you've never chosen to trust him before, then what can I say? Trust him today, because it's the best decision you'll ever make. I chose to start trusting him at the age of 24, and I only wish that I'd done it sooner. That was 30-odd years ago. Put your trust in Jesus. He will show you a way to live without fear. To live without fearing people, without fearing pandemics, without fearing economic chaos, and without fearing death even. He will show you a way. He will light your path for you. So that's the first thing. Put your trust in Jesus. Secondly, we can choose to live in the light by loving others.
I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
That's not just loving your family or loving those that you like, your friends, but that's loving all people. Jesus says we're to love our enemies. And later, in case we don't get it, he reinforces that by telling us this beautiful story. You probably know it, the story of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus was teaching them how to love their neighbours. And a teacher of the law said, "Who's my neighbour?" And Jesus tells him this story. And he tells him the story of a man living in Jerusalem, travelling down to Jericho and falling into the hands of thieves who rob him and beat him and leave him for dead. And how a priest comes down from Jerusalem and sees him but walks on by, pretending not to see him. How a Levite, that's someone who works in the temple, comes down from Jerusalem and he sees the man, but he also walks on by. And then Jesus says something quite shocking. He says, "There's a Samaritan, an enemy of the Jews." They're the ones that had fallen into idolatry and lost their way and had muddled up religion and muddled up the way of following Yahweh and were now mixed up with all kinds of impure races. And this Samaritan comes down the road and he sees the man who's a Jew and he has compassion on him. He stops, washes his wounds, bandages him up and takes him to an inn and pays the innkeeper to look after him. And Jesus says, "Who was that man's neighbour?" And they all have to say, "I guess it was the Samaritan." And they're kind of spitting as they say it. But Jesus just was trying to make the point that we're to love all people. That's why in River, one of the maxims that we live by is to love everyone that we meet. It's not something that we've made up as a nice soundbite. It's something that Jesus teaches us and we want to live out. So we can do that in lockdown. We can love one another, can't we? We may not be able to spend as much time with one another or eat with one another, or go on holiday with one another, meet and worship together, pray together. But we can, over Zoom, we can meet over Zoom, like we're doing now. We can meet on these screens. It's better than nothing. We can call one another. We can speak to one another. We can chat. We can go for a walk with one other person still. And enjoy a bit of creation and a bit of friendship. We can let someone know that we're thinking of them, that we still care about them, even in lockdown. We can send gifts, we can send cards. There are many ways that we can show our love for one another. I just encourage you to practice that during lockdown. So that's how we live in the light, briefly. There are many other things we could say, but two really key things to living in the light are choosing to trust Jesus and choosing to love one another. You know, Jesus says that we're the light of the world. John has just told us that Jesus is the light of the world, but when Jesus is preaching at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, he says, "You are the light of the world." What's he saying there? Well, he's not saying that we are him, although we are in a way, we're his body. What he's saying is that's our calling. We're called to work with him, to help him drive out the darkness wherever we are. We're called to help him bring life, to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring salvation wherever we are. We're to follow him. We're called Christians, which just means little Christs, little anointed ones. We're anointed with the same spirit, that same spirit that enabled Jesus to heal the sick, to drive out demons, to raise the dead. He calls us to follow him, to love those that our society doesn't necessarily love, to spend time with everyone, to be generous with our time, our possessions. That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus, to be a light in this world. And that's what he calls us to be, a light to help him drive out the darkness. Remember, always with the aim at the end of days there'll be no more darkness, because Jesus and us have driven it all out as we work together. So I want to play the last video and just pray for us.
If you don't know Jesus, then I'd really encourage you just to place yourself in this glorious story, this wonderful story of the light dawning and growing ever brighter until the whole earth is filled with his glory. And if you do know Jesus, or you are choosing right now just to let the light of Jesus dawn in your heart, then listen to the words he says over you. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And my prayer for you is that you will just be filled with light and love right now in the name of Jesus. That you will know his light dawning in your heart. That you will know the day getting brighter. And I pray for every area of darkness that you might see at the moment, that you might feel encroaching in on you at the moment, that it would be driven out in Jesus' name. And that you would know God with you, empowering you to drive out darkness wherever you are and wherever you go. In your homes, in your families, in your workplaces. That you might know Jesus working through you as you love those around you to drive out the darkness and see the day dawn and the brightness come. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
Let your light shine. Take a moment now during worship to think about who you are. A light carrier, son of God, daughter of God, co-worker with Jesus in driving out the darkness. Yes, the world may not understand you at times. Yes, the world may try and overcome you at times. But the world can never overcome the light. The darkness can never overcome the light. So be filled up with Jesus again today. Be filled up with his light and his love. And dream about how you can work with him to drive out the darkness. Know that you carry the light in you, and that light flees from you just because you're there. So go into the dark places, be brave. Go with Jesus, go in peace, go in love, go in joy. Until the next time I see you guys, love you lots. Bye.